There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Show My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. Of course, June is Pride Month. We got a lot going on. Family Fun Day is coming up on June 16th. That'll be at the Como Park East Pavilions. And the following weekend, it is the Pride Festival. That will be in Loring Park, June 22nd and 23rd. You can sign up for the Rainbow Run. That'll be the morning of the 23rd. And then stick around after the Ashley Rooks GLBT Pride Parade. A lot going on. Use tcpride.org and you get all the information.
I know, you know, kids, our Grease sing-along is the opening night of the Jazz Fest in Mears Park. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So when we're done doing our Grease sing-along, we can just pop over to Mears Park. But that's that weekend. That kicks off on the 20th.
Yeah, very busy.
Summer
weekend
is here. There is fun stuff happening every
night.
Single weekend night. It's just like it's exciting, and I'm trying to figure out how do we slow it all down.
You can't.
How I do can't we slow believe it was it down? June
June 1st on
yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah, I really that was a weird.
Yeah,
but
okay.
We're here.
Okay, so it's I just am going to call it that. It's Keanu's world, Keanu Reeves' world, and we're all just living in it right now. Just he's everywhere. Julia, I mean, it just couldn't be more lovely. I mean, John Wick 3, great movie. He's in the rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
What did I say it was called? Along Comes Maybe? That's what I think it is. Okay. The Ali Wong.
Yeah. Along Always Be Maybe.
You'll Always Be My Maybe.
Oh, look at the different things. I have Always Be
You'll
Maybe.
Always Be My Maybe?
Yes, Always Be My Maybe.
There we go.
Okay. So he's got a little small part in that.
Okay.
Okay, so it's just, and he's on the cover of GQ, and he's just giving, you know, told us he's lonely, and he hopes he finds his person, but he gives us so much realness, admits the crush on Sandra Bullock. He's just been everywhere, and it's made us so happy. And here's the story. Because he's been, if you think of The Matrix, that was a huge franchise thing for him. John Wick has been a great franchise thing for him. We're getting Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which a lot of people are excited about. He has never done a superhero comic book movie for Marvel or DC Comics.
Oh, don't tell me.
Well, it seems like a strange omission to his resume, given that, you know, what the movie star that he is, but yet this low-key movie star, and the only one who has not disappointed us.
Well, this is true.
At least for someone,
with
you know.
His behavior, you mean.
Yeah, for being that age, you know, being in his 50s and stuff. So, anyway, I would never want to see him wear a cape or anything like that, but I could see him being a villain or something else. Well, guess what? He might get a chance to do that with Marvel.
Because this is what we live for.
Well, the only reason I'm excited about this is I love the idea of Keanu Reeves and Angelina Jolie.
I knew there was going to be Angelina.
Doing a movie together. They would be so suited for each other on and off screen. It seems like on screen, they both always have chemistry with their co-stars. And they would look great together. Off screen, I feel like they would get each other.
I don't want him
and
to be
I
with
want
her.
Them to
no.
become a no. couple.
No,
Lori, don't be so mean.
Oh, that is not mean, Julia. That is just good wishes. Anyway, here's the story. So Angelina was the central casting choice for The Eternals. Marvel is putting the cast together around Angelina. It's reported that Richard Madden from Bodyguard on Netflix and also Rocket Man, he plays Elton John's manager.
Yeah.
Now Keanu is in the running.
Ooh.
And
I don't want her to get her paws on him.
I do.
They're talons. They're not even paws. Goodness.
Wow, Julia.
Holly's in there.
I know.
Holly just weighed in.
I am really harsh.
On the idea of Keanu being in the Eternals with Angelina Jolie.
No.
Yes.
No. Julia. This is the comic book movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's about a race of immortal beings.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Keanu needs a part in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Too. And why does anyone? There's so many parts out there.
That's how you get your money.
That's just another way. I don't think he'll sign a like a multi-picture thing, but I kind of can see him doing it because he hasn't done it. And I feel like the chemistry of those two, and if they could have even if it was a hotel romance that we don't need to know about, I'm feeling
it. He doesn't have on-set romances. He remains professional. That's what he said.
Well, then there you go.
He remains professional. But I also think the reason why he's so cool is he isn't part of a franchise. He is different. I think you're minimalizing him by putting him in with just all the other Avenger people.
He stole the show and Always Be My Maybe on Netflix, by the way. I haven't seen it yet, but he's playing a mother, Teresa.
It has nothing to do with the Marvel universe.
We are in the Keanu-sance.
The Keanu apocalypse.
No, the Keanu-sance.
Yes.
Did you see Val Kilmer's pictures?
Mm. Oh. Well, cancer.
I'm telling you, cancer. Like be careful of throat cancer, people.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, not good.
Well, the trailer we saw that we were like fanning ourselves over was the Matt Damon, Christian Bale. Never in a million years I think I'd get excited about this movie, Ford versus Ferrari.
It's a true story.
True story.
Based on when Henry Ford, whichever number he was, wanted to have a race car that could beat a Ferrari and be in the Monte Carlo. And he hooked up with a guy named something Shelby, hence the Shelby Mustang. And Matt Damon plays the Shelby dude.
1966.
It looks so good. We posted that today.
Oh, and Christian Bale, I mean,
he looks great.
Matt Damon looks great.
I really want to see this movie.
It looks so good, doesn't it?
Ferrari, yeah.
And the story, I bet, is just so, I mean, it's a true story.
Ooh, we love that.
We love a true story. And I just want you to know that Dean McDermott, because we looked at the picture earlier of the 90210 ladies hanging out. Jenny Garth, whose face is someone else's. Tori Spelling, whose face is another someone else's. Mm-hmm. He's defended his wife because trolls were criticizing Tori in her bikini photo. She looked great in her bikini photo. It was her face with all the plastic surgery that looked different.
Julia, I don't consider a bikini a bathing suit that comes up right under your breast. Okay, that's a spank
girdle. I call those girdle pants.
That's a girdle. That's not
a
bikini.
It's a strong bottom.
It's a real strong bottom because it came up under her. And I like a retro 40 suit that's like a high cut, little bit over your belly button. But when it comes up over your rib cage, that's called a Spanx or a girdle or something like that. That's not a bikini. It's not.
Okay.
But
yes.
I really didn't care about anything but what their faces look like.
Yeah, but I was like, what is she doing wearing that as a swimsuit? It was, you know.
They weren't swimming.
No, well.
Really?
I mean, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Captain Obvious.
And Danny, and it wasn't made out of red, white, and blue.
It wasn't made out of denim
material. Either, right? Denim material.
Would you call Jenny Garth a bikini?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remember what a crab she was to us? Yeah. That person has no personality. She's flatter than a flat Stanley that's traveled around the world.
Yeah, true
I
that.
I mean, sir, yes. Bore me.
I hope she doesn't get a podcast.
River.
Oh,
stick
please. To acting.
She can't. She would have to have a script.
How about that the Bradley Cooper, his PR team has given the okay to go ahead and let Page Six know the relationship is hanging by a thread, which I take to mean Arena has already moved out and set up a home somewhere else. And I also take it to mean that they're going to be broken up. The fact that they're saying the relationship is hanging by a thread, it's already over, is what that means. Somebody
has moved
out. I
can't believe you will admit it in this instant, but you wouldn't admit it with Pete Davidson and Kate Beckinsale.
Well, you know what? I thought that young buck, older woman, hot love thing would have lasted a little bit longer.
Than a month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Arena Shake is 33. Bradley Cooper's 44.
They haven't been happy for a long time.
No, they haven't. They've been miserable. They have a beautiful baby.
They wanted to break up last fall.
But they couldn't because Star is Born wasn't coming out. Yeah. I believe it.
Yeah, anyway.
But that baby is darling. Yeah.
And she went to the Met Gala solo, and he told Howard Stern when he was on Howard
Stern.
What did
he say?
He said, I just don't talk about certain things, meaning his romance. That's because he's had a very interesting love life. Who wouldn't want to ask him, what happened between you and
Renee Zellweger
and what
Jennifer Esposito.
Yeah. They were married 5 months and then divorced under fraud. It's like, who doesn't want to ask Kenny Chesney and Renee Zellweger
about that? I still want to know about that. What is fraud in a marriage?
Well, in California, you have to have cause, and so fraud could be...
Just better than irreconcilable differences, because maybe...
That's not a reason.
Yeah, they won't give you that.
That's not a reason as an option. Anyway, so she's moved out. I don't know if she's in Malibu. They're probably living somewhere where they can be close to the kids.
Yep.
I also think it's always going to be difficult to make your relationship work when you're a man in your 40s, and you insist... that your mother lives with you.
Well, he has like a mother apartment, you know?
Yeah, I know, carriage house.
A little awkward.
I know.
Yeah.
But
well, Tom Cruise did it.
What happened to his mom?
Yep.
Remember, no one knew where Marianne was.
No one apparently in St. Petersburg, where the Cruise, you know, the Scientology mecca is now.
Florida?
Yeah, we don't hear any leaks from that area.
Oh, yeah. Well, they bought all the buildings.
They bought all of it.
Yeah, they've bought everything.
Yeah.
Is he still pining for Lady Gaga?
Bradley Cooper, no.
No.
Okay. They never, they just had great
chemistry.
He
likes younger models.
He's had a kind of a variety of
blondes.
Brunettes,
blondes, Jennifer Esposito.
How would you feel about him and Angelina just having hotel sex?
Why doesn't Steven Tyler and Angelina Jolie have hotel sex?
She'd scare Steven Tyler.
I think she'd scare Bradley Cooper.
But in a good way. In a way, Bradley needs to be scared.
I think most men would be afraid of her.
In a good way. And they'd be lining up. I'd be scared of her in a good way. I'd line up.
Well, of course you would. You always would.
Yeah, I know. Can I bring my husband Angelina? Is that okay?
Keanu would not be afraid of her.
No, he wouldn't. No. Oh,
but I don't think he would put up with her either.
Oh, no. They would just, they're just having hotel sex.
But he doesn't
Renting a bungalow at the Beverly Hills Hotel after the filming is over. Angelina can be the bridge for Bradley. In arena. Jeez. I don't want him getting together with Emily Ratajkowski, even though she's married.
Okay. But that is the ultimate funny. The naked model on Daily Mail every day. No one gets more anything. I'm going to find out Bradley Cooper's past girlfriends.
He's had a real interesting love life. Yeah. All right. Listen, we have a real good Monday Dirt Alert. We're keeping Holly. We're waiting for her. That's up next.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
All right, Holly, we're here.
All
we're
right.
ready for our dirt
okay.
this Monday afternoon.
Well, Julia was just reading the story, and she couldn't believe it that, yes, there is a movie based on the Magic 8 Ball in development because, I mean, we already had a Ouija board movie.
It's going to be serious.
I knew people whose parents wouldn't let them have the Magic 8 Ball or a Ouija board.
I knew the Ouija board
we never had.
We did.
I didn't know anyone who even had one.
We did.
Well, of course you did.
I know it. Young parents. Young parents.
I know.
You know, they're hipper.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's shake the Magic 8 Ball in the studio to see if this movie's going to be a hit. Here
we go.
Okay.
Outlook good.
Oh.
You know, those teens need to have movies to be scared by in the fall so you can make out with people in the back of the movie theater.
Yeah. Did people go see Ma this weekend or Godzilla? Was anything happening?
Well, everybody went to see Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it underperformed, though, if they wanted more money because. Probably cost a lot of money to make.
Yeah, they made $50 million in their debut at the box office, which was a little below projection, just a couple of million below that.
Yeah, how about Ma? Did people go?
Ma, people did. $18 million, and that's good, being made by the same people who are going to make the Magic 8 Ball movie, Blumhouse and Universal.
Really?
So we have that to look forward to.
Oh my gosh, I hope it isn't scary.
It is going to be scary.
Magic 8 Ball is?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I just said. It's going to be scary.
Scary, like the Ouija board movie.
Oh.
Things will happen. Things start coming true. Yeah, for sure. It's
funny.
Not going to be a happy, you know, like a little pony story.
Oh, well, then I'm not going.
No, yes.
I just tweeted it out. I was excited.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Oh, no, Julia. It's like a movie about a doll is never going to be, you know, lighthearted usually.
All right, fine.
No, this is going to be scary. And as long as you got horny teens who want to make out in the back of the movie theater, you're going to have scary movies Magic 8-Ball.
Well, Lori's a horny teenager. Right. He just loves to do that. There we go.
Jay-Z is the first hip-hop billionaire, according to Forbes magazine this afternoon. They're saying that his fortune has accumulated to a conservative total of $1 billion, making him only one of a handful of entertainers to become a billionaire. Wow. So here are some of his assets: a $70 million stake in Uber, his ownership of the streaming service Tidal. He has a $70 million art collection. He owns Roc Nation Sports Management, also has $50 million in assorted real estate holdings, and of course he has his music catalog.
Get out of Uber. That's what I'd tell him. Get out of Uber.
Get out of Uber.
I really would.
Just went public. That's where he got all this cash from.
Yeah.
Now it's time to sell. Mm-hmm. Beyonce, by the way, is worth an estimated $355 million herself. Now, some people may say,
no wonder they take such nice vacation.
No kidding.
I would be taking a yacht to the Amalfi Coast every year if I had that much money like Beyonce and Jay-Z do. Now, back in 2014, Dr. Dre claimed he was hip hop's first billionaire after he sold Beats Music to Apple, but apparently, when he sold his Beats after taxes, it was just below $1 billion.
I know.
All right, some royal action happening over in London this evening. State dinner is happening between the UK and the United States, and Kate Middleton looks lovely in Alexander McQueen, and she is wearing her go-to lover's knot tiara paired with the Queen Mother's sapphire and diamond fringe earrings. She is wearing them and hanging out with Prince William and all the assorted royals and heads of state.
Yes, and President Trump and Melania, and Twitter has been funny in the fashion and the memes.
Yes.
And Camilla winked at her security people as she was leaving with Trump, like, wish me luck. Wink, wink, wink.
Nudge, nudge, nudge. Yes, you can see all of the action unfold on social media. Yes. If you're going to follow it anywhere, follow it on Twitter. They got the jokes.
Yes.
We're already talking Oscars. The Governor's Awards have announced the recipients this year. Now, the Governor Awards, the honorary Oscars. Remember, they moved those away from the telecast and to a separate ceremony that happens later in the year. This year's recipients include Gina Davis, David Lynch, actor Wes Studi, and director Lena Wertmuller. So,
what are they getting them for?
Well, it's like the Jean Hershowitz Award. Like Angelina got that. That's like a humanitarian.
Okay, what's Gina Davis getting it for?
She is getting it for her
work. The women stuff.
That's right, Gina Davis. Not only did she win an Oscar for The Accidental Tourist back in the '80s for her acting, but Gina Davis is the founder and chair of the Gina Davis Institute on Gender and Media, which is her nonprofit that pushes companies to create a wider variety of female characters in programming and movie movies.
She started this a long time ago before Me Too, before everything. She really did. Good for her.
Yeah, she's super passionate about that project.
How about Lena Wertmuller? Didn't she make all the Nazi propaganda films?
No, Lenny Reeve. She is no longer in this realm. Woman, she became the first woman to receive an Oscar nomination for directing back in 1976, that film Seven Beauties. And to this day, only five women have been nominated for the Oscar for Best Directing. One woman winning the prize, that was Catherine Bigelow.
Yes,
for The Hurt Locker.
Oh, boy, that
was such a good movie, but that is a bad number.
Unbelievably bad.
That is unbelievably bad. And remember, Barbara Streisand has been nominated, one of the five women, for Best Director. So we have that to look forward to. The Governor's Awards will be happening October 27th. They are not televised, but usually we'll get a nice clip reel during the Oscars. And Charlize Theron is going to be honored at the American Cinematheque Awards on November 8th. This award usually goes to somebody big in the movie industry, a major Hollywood prize, The Hollywood Reporter says, that goes out to an A-lister every year. Previous recipients include Steven Spielberg, Martin Scorsese, Tom Cruise, Jodie Foster, Denzel Washington, and Bradley Cooper.
Wow. Yes. All right.
So that is good. She'll get that.
Do you think Bradley is there? They basically have broken up and it just hasn't been official.
Oh, yeah. I feel like they broke up probably sometime earlier this year, if not late last year.
Right after the Oscars.
Yeah. And I feel like they walked the red carpet during award season to save face. It was part of your duty in your relationship. Bradley Cooper brought his mom to the Oscars, right? And she walked the red carpet.
No, and her.
What I'm saying.
Okay,
Like, all right, we've already moved on and I want somebody who really supports me here while I'm at the Oscars, so I'm bringing my mom.
They always seemed like an odd couple other than the hot initial sexual attraction. And then, oops, by the way, they had a baby. They didn't seem like a fit at all.
No.
I don't know why.
And it's okay if their relationship is broken up. People move on from each other. The All in the Family Jefferson special that was on ABC on May 25th. It was so fun. And ABC is hearing your call because they are looking to make this into a circulation play franchise. That's what ABC is calling
this.
What
the heck? Okay. So they're going to look for other
TV shows?
Yes, they're going to take different TV shows. They're going to do this. They want to say,
Mary Tyler Moore.
Yes, that would be great. And they're going to make this into events, possibly into the next season. They don't know what they're going to do, but 22 people watched that live special since it launched.
22 million?
Yeah, since it aired, people either live or on demand.
It was so great.
It was.
Yeah, I think
really
that...
It was fun to peek back and think, what's changed and what hasn't.
Doesn't change. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of these in the near future. And I hope that Mary Tyler Moore is one of those, because that would be super fun to
do. Yeah, totally.
Yes.
All right, Holly, thank you so much. What's happening on the roads? Easy, middle, depending where you're going.
I don't know.
Let's talk about sex for now. To the people at home or in the crowd, it keeps coming up anyhow.
Are we ready?
Oh, well.
I think we are. I think we are ready.
Okay.
I'm very happy that this survey of 2,000 Americans was done, because people need to be reminded of what are the turn-ons and the turn-offs of, you know, the same sex and the opposite sex.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, this is important. I mean, it is summer.
It
People
is
are
summer.
Want to get frisky.
That's right. This Help is when it's
out.
All happening.
All right.
So we wanted the study. They wanted to figure out what are Americans' biggest turn-ons and turn-offs.
Americans.
Okay. And listen to this. This is very interesting. 76% of the people in the survey like their partner giving them a little verbal reassurance in bed, like just saying, "Oh, I like that. That feels good."
Mm-hmm.
So when in doubt, give a little verbal assurance. That's a surefire winner.
Takes nothing.
Yeah, people like that. That is actually the second most appealing way to ramp up the mood. The number one turn on, is neck kisses.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up behind the neck, a side of the neck. That is the number one.
Big erogenous zone.
Big erogenous zone. People forget about
it.
We forget about the neck.
Yep.
The neck.
Needs attention.
That's right. And then just simply saying, "I like that" in bed is a very appealing way. Nibbling, of course, on the ear is a very good one. People also, even just the presence of sex toys in the bed will turn on half of Americans. Just having them there. Having your partner undress you is number three on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, there's spanking, pulling hair, biting, role playing, being dominated, doing a strip tease, dirty talk, being teased. But I thought I'd get to some of the real interesting information. For instance, they split the results of the list by gender, which is where it kind of gets fascinating. So the most polarizing act, we'll refer to it as fifth base.
Yes.
52% of guys say it's a turn on compared to just 17% of women. Incredible 60% of women actually consider it a complete turn off. Mm-hmm. So just know that, fifth base isn't that popular, at least with the heteros. And also going downtown.
What?
Yeah. 76% of guys say going downtown is a turn on compared to only 46% of women.
Oh, ladies, get with it.
I know. And in fact, 1 in 4 women reported that going downtown is a major turn off for them. No bueno.
Unfortunate.
Well, there's lots of other things to do.
Mm. There are lots of other things to do.
But remember, if you're going to spank somebody or pull someone's hair or ask first. Mm-hmm. That's always a good idea.
Might not go over well.
Yeah. Like women like being teased more than guys do. And it was the only thing that women like more than men do. That they like teasing, a little teasing. Oh, do you like that? You like when I do that? You know, kind of that sort of thing. If I have to give you a...
I love it, Lori. If I have to give you exact... Examples. If I have to spell it out and lay it out and give you the verbiage.
But who said being turned on has to be a sexual act? The survey found all kinds of non-sexual things that are turn on. For instance, just smelling good is the biggest non-sexual turn on. And we get that in studies and research that smelling good is just...
I don't know how people can make a scent stay on their body, though. I can spray, I can bathe, I can shower, I can run through it, I can spray again and again and again, and it's gone in 2 minutes.
Well...
I mean, seriously, some people hold scents more...
Like Sarah Jessica Parker would say you need to use essential oils and do a blend of something.
I mean, because some people Maybe you just let your pheromones shine through. They do. But I mean, you want to wear it, but I put it on and it's gone 2 minutes later.
Yeah. Being affectionate is second to smelling good for turn on. Just being affectionate to somebody, filling up their love cup, as it were, making somebody feel appreciated is the third non-sexual turn on that you can do. Leaving a note, just telling someone what they mean. I'm always constantly telling, like, a couple people I know that are in the thick of things with kids.
Right.
Don't forget to be sweet to each other and say sweet things.
Yes.
Even if you're too tired to do it, you're not having time. You can't.
And you're such a, and you know what?
Saying sweet things to each other. Don't ever stop doing it. That cannot be all we need is love is as true today as it ever was when the Beatles wrote it.
Oh, Lorraine.
Thank you.
Very much.
I do think people forget some of the basics.
You forget about you don't realize that if you make somebody feel appreciated and if you tell them that and then you're affectionate, the chances of then having sexier times together is going to, you know, increase. And remember, I told you last week, just having a good sexual, exchange of whatever, whether it's a quickie or however it happens, the glow is 2 days.
Yes.
The feelings of good last for 2 days. Age 37 is the age that people are the kinkiest. I would agree with that. That's probably when.
37. Really?
Yeah. Well, people try things the younger they are. You're more flexible, in some regards.
I think that.
Depends on where you are in your life. It depends on,
if you're in the thick of it.
If you got married young,
you lose inhibitions and I think you're more experiential.
That's right. Is that a new word?
Experiential. It was having an experience while you're doing essential oils.
Experiment. Mm-hmm. That's a good new word.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Combination of the two.
Being turned on. Americans say they're noticeably turned on 3 times every day. I don't know if that means tumescence for the man.
Sure.
Or turgidity.
I love that you love to. Lori loves those words, the T's. Why don't we have that on
turgid,
our state?
Tumescence.
For sure.
What does it mean for the women?
Tumescence and turgidity. Well, women. Just being wet.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Julia.
So I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Straightforward.
That's right. 1 in 5.
Just feeling tingly.
Say it happens even more than 3 times a day.
It depends on your age.
That's right.
And just being tingly. Or...
And it's not necessarily in the evening, you know. People, as the average American saying, skyrockets in flight, 2:46 p.m. Remember? Afternoon delight.
I know.
Okay. Now, what is, what else did we find off?
Find out,
yeah.
How to get you off.
No. Oh, okay. Boy, listen to this.
All
okay,
right.
These are the things that are absolute turn-ons in bed for men and women. We need to just reiterate.
Absolutes.
Okay. Can't go wrong. Your partner tells you, I like that. This is a turn on for a guy. My partner going downtown. Love it. Undressing your partner. Love it.
Yeah.
Going downtown on your partner. Love it. And neck kisses. These are the 5 things you can't go wrong with a guy.
They're all good.
For women.
Okay.
Number one, the neck kiss. The old neck nibbling. Your partner saying, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Your partner undressing you,
mm-hmm.
for women, your partner going downtown, and then you undressing your mm-hmm. partner. And then, geez, you know what people absolutely hate? The turnoffs, long fingernails, being cheap, lack of confidence, being too handsy, too much PDA in public, being a bad driver, poor taste in shoes, calling you your pet name in public. Wearing too much cologne, baby talk, insecurity, talking too much, not listening, talking about exes, poor hygiene, being mean, being
rude.
Remember
we talked about flossing earlier today.
Eating with your mouth open, flirting openly with other people, dressing poorly.
The list goes on.
There's
so many things. Being mean to their parents, being mean to others.
Being cheap.
Being mean to a waitress.
Being cheap.
There's nothing worse.
Yeah.
Nothing worse.
Yeah, and then poor taste in shoes.
Oh, Lori, remember what mine used to be? Teeth and shoes.
Yeah. And then playing with your hair, you know, that's always a turn on, a non-sexual turn on.
For women.
Active listening. Your dad always knew that.
Oh,
he always said the secret to his way with women is he was an active listener. He said,
true.
I listen.
Yeah.
I said, is that because you can't hear? Well, that helps.
Yep.
Being generous is a turn on. Mm-hmm. Besides smelling good, being affectionate, dressing nice, confidence, active listening. I already said that. And being taller than me is a turn on.
Okay. For some.
I'm glad I could give a refresher.
I think that really people needed that course. People were taking summers off, they learned everything through the school year, but that one
we've got a few
was
things.
Important. I think it's always good to be reminded, and it's so easy. They're simple little things.
They are. Okay, listen, we come back. We will be going over our favorite headlines and some other headlines of the day.
Good music, people, for this lovely Monday evening. Get outside and enjoy it.
By the way, really, we kind of forgot to do a favorite headline. Basically, it's Keanu Reeves' world, and we're all living in it. You know, that's kind of maybe my favorite. My favorite
Everything
thing
is Keanu.
Oh, it's just Keanu. By the way, this Josephine Baker was born on this day way long ago.
Oh,
Lori,
she would have been, I don't know how long.
Who was
the guy who we went to his restaurant?
Yeah.
Josephine's.
Don't you remember that?
Sure.
And he was on our show, but there was, and
He was like one of
her grandchildren.
No, he was one of her rainbow children. She adopted
it.
Like, I don't know.
That was it.
Yeah, he was French, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And the restaurant Josephine's, I don't know if it's still open in New York City.
Yeah. I don't know either.
But I think she would have been like in her 90s if she was still around.
I loved looking at the pictures.
Yeah.
Because she really had a look. She had a style.
She did. And speaking of style, if you want to check out... you had talked about this, I think, on Friday about IKEA making the Friends iconic living room. It'll probably take you 10 years to assemble, but Donnie's posted it for you. And Katy Perry's
video
Never Really Over is posted. And then the trailer for the movie we all watched, the trailer looks great, Ford versus Ferrari.
Right.
Christian Bale, Matt Damon, true story.
Oh, it just looks so good.
So good. Did you ever see that movie, American Gangster, the one with Denzel Washington?
Yeah, good movie.
Did you see, remember that movie?
Because I remember someone said it was terrible, like you.
What?
Came out in the 90s, didn't it?
No, it was 2007.
Oh,
he played the drug lord Frank Lucas. He was a true real guy. Denzel Washington played him. He died. He was 88. He was
this a Scorsese film?
No.
I feel like I remember. I feel like someone saw this and said you wouldn't like it.
Well,
which is probably true with a lot of things.
Yeah, he was the drug kingpin who was like, he smuggled opium basically in the coffins of dead soldiers coming back from Hanoi.
Oh!
Is how he got the drugs into the U.S. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And, anyway, Denzel Washington played him in the movie, and I vaguely only remember that movie, but
I feel like it was a guy movie.
I think,
yeah, I would disagree with that.
Yeah,
I liked it, but more of a guy movie. For sure.
No,
yeah.
I know.
Meryl Streep is talking and doing the cast with the Big Little Eyes. I absolutely hate what she had to say, so I'm not even going to.
Here, let's talk about Jane Fonda, though.
I know. Let's talk about Jane Fonda.
So Jane Fonda opened up to the Hollywood Reporter in a roundtable.
This was the one where Tiffany Haddish said that how she would find out what casting agents would say about her is she would turn her phone on audio record, leave, and then say, oh, I forgot my purse. And that's how she would find out what they were saying about her in auditions.
You never told me that.
This was in the same roundtable. It was Jane Fonda, Tiffany Haddish, and they were really getting raw and real about everything and just about getting cast and what people say about you and how you find out. And Tiffany said, I know how they find out because that used to be my trick. I'd say, I left my bag, and then I would hear what they'd say about me so I would know
if I was going to get the part or not.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, Jane Fonda was talking about our culture. You know, she's in Grace and Frankie.
Right. The book club.
Yes. And our culture doesn't like people with wrinkles to be talking about sex.
It's so true.
Kids don't like it either. They don't like to think about their parents doing it. But the fastest growing demo in the world are older women. And a lot of them are doing it pleasurably. And she said she made a promise to herself in her 40s that before she dies, she wants to be part of giving a cultural face to older women.
Yeah. Well, she's doing that with Grease and Frankie.
But it's kind of hard when she's an admitted plastic surgeonist. Enthusiastic. She said three facelifts and she didn't like wrinkles.
Well,
it's kind of hard.
I don't think that discounts what she says.
I agree, but she also said she doesn't want to have sex anymore and she's 80.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But I mean, I think the storyline on Grace and Frankie, I think that there's a lot of women who, you know, they outlive their husbands or their partner.
Yes, you're in your 60s and 70s and think, what am I going to do?
But they're having fun.
Yes.
I think that that's it more than anything. Because I bet they hear that from so many people because they're having a blast.
On that show.
On that show. Watch. And also, you know, I mean, I just know my mom has been a widow for 10 years now.
It's been
10 years. And even though she, you know, misses her husband or whatever, I think all of her friends, they're all widows. And even though they'd like their, you know, partners to still be with them, she is having fun. Now, I don't know if she's ready for me to buy her a vibrator or anything like that. She might already own one.
Please, Lori, Mooty, strike that from the audio today. Lori went off script, Mooty. Yeah, she was not supposed to say that.
I took her diaphragms in sixth grade because I thought they were falsies. You know, we go way back.
Yeah. We go way, way back. Yeah. I know. Is anyone watching The Bachelorette?
No.
No.
Do you know anyone who even is?
Well, I'm sure Bachelor Nation is, but I have no desire to watch it. Marley's gone, so yes. We don't have anyone to talk about it. I just thought, I don't feel like watching it. I'll wait for Love Island or whatever the heck.
Paradise.
Bachelor in Paradise.
Bachelor in Paradise. Yeah.
Between the three of us, we can put things
That's
together.
That's right.
It works.
Slowly.
By the way, Shea Josephine's still open.
It is.
Yeah, right there on 42nd Street.
Don't you remember when we went there and had that three-course meal when we took people to New York all the time?
It was lovely. That's an iconic place, people.
Oh, lovely. And thanks for finding that out, Donnie.
By the way, Bernie Taupin just wanted to let us know the only song of Elton's that he wrote that he didn't like was Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
With Kiki.
Yeah. He said, but I don't care. Elton always knows what's better in a song, so I just wrote the lyrics and went along. I like knowing that.
That's a good thing to know. We'll be back tomorrow. Everyone have a great night.
Job done. Off you go.